Okay, I want to do a couple quick introductions here before we get into our stuff. Ryan Kathleen Brooks, would you hand out your cards real quick, please? These are the new Pioneer Chi Alpha missionaries to the University of Illinois. I love Chi Alpha. They have not complicated church. They keep it simple. Evangelism and discipleship and evangelism. Their second Bible is the Master Plan of Evangelism by
Robert Coleman.
Yes, got to hear him twice anyhow. So hand out the cards if you can. If you can't, now listen, those of you that are pastors, okay, I understand the pressure of missionaries wanting support. I pastored the same church for 28 and a half years. I get it. But this is our tribe. Yeah. Here's the filter you go through. You support people from your church first. Yeah. Then in your personal network, your family, the people you went to college with, your friendship circle. Then people from the Illinois district. This is where God put you. We are a missions district. Then the general council. Really, this one should be number one. You support who the Holy Spirit tells you to support. I cannot tell you the number of times missionaries said, Papa G, I want to meet with you. I always gave him a cash offering. To my knowledge, I never turned a missionary down. Didn't always give him as much as I wanted. And, you know, I'd meet with them. I'd hear their spiel. We had a missions committee. We got the newsletters. I'll never forget one guy who's in Jordan right now. Him and his family all speak fluent Arabic. They are incredible missionaries reaching people for Jesus. And I was determined not to support them. We had overspent our missions budget. We were in a multi-million dollar building program. And on the way there, wouldn't you know it, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And let me tell you how this works. You and I have to get involved ourselves. You don't wait and see. When there's a list that you pass out to sign people up for a prayer meeting, an all-night prayer chain, evangelism outreach, your name needs to be first on the list. He just said that him and his wife will help with youth camp to pay scholarship. Bonnie and I will help too. We do it every year. I've spent thousands of dollars sending kids personally to camp. I do the same thing with missionaries. Bonnie and I are personally giving to the Brookses to evangelize people in Jesus. Or in Jesus. That didn't quite come out right. But you know what I mean. I was speaking in tongues there. Okay, Ryan, you want to say anything? Where'd you go? You want to say anything? Where are you?
You went to go grab all our prayer cards because we didn't have enough left.
Okay, Kathleen, just say a little something. They're veterans, 17-year Chi Alphians, got saved for Chi Alphians. They were real good sinners. Now they're real good saints. Okay?
Yeah.
They were the directors of Chi Alpha in Kentucky. We're talking high-quality people here.
Quality. Yeah. So yeah, we are super excited to be here. My husband and I have just been amazed this whole district council. We are just thrilled with how friendly all you guys are and how many friends we've made. And so we would love to meet all of you. Any of you that have students that are going to be going to the U of I, please get in touch with us. We will get you a card, I promise. And we're just excited to spend time with students, lead them to Jesus, worship, study the Bible, and teach them how to become disciple makers.
Okay, good. Hey, I want to honor my pastor here. Ricky Spindler is my pastor, okay? And the answer is always yes, as long as it's not illegal, immoral, or unscriptural. Whatever he wants to do, the answer is always yes.
Yeah, maybe the illegal thing we can fudge a little bit.
Thanks for coming. Appreciate it. Okay, Bonnie and I support the Brookses on a monthly basis. All right, here's a new missionary I just met, a missionary associate. We had an outreach in El Paso, Illinois on Saturday. We reached about 15% of the city. It came to sort of a rural compassion, convoy of hope type gig. It was really awesome. And she is from Downers Grove. And she came from a Reformed theology background. And in kind of the leadership team pizza evaluation party afterwards Saturday night, she got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, you got to clap on that. You know, to be an Assembly of God missionary, you got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But to be an MA, you've got to be seeking. And so she got zapped by the Holy Ghost. So, Beth Bovin. Beth, just stand up and greet us and say a little bit.
I'm Beth. I'm going to be going to Togo in West Africa doing children's ministries. My first term, so I'm super excited. I can't wait. I'm hoping by the fall I'll be able to go and still 2 years away to go, but trust
me. They need her to be there by October, so we kind of figured it up. It's a big, steep cliff to climb. So Bonnie and I are going to support her at $50 a month. And some of you have heard me do this before. I mean, there's only so much money you have coming in. But once in a while, you just got to do something extravagant. So I always tell the new missionaries, I'll support you for a year, then you're on your own. You got to starve to death. Because I'm always supporting somebody new. But some of them, wouldn't you know it, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and Bonnie and I still support it. You know? So it is what it is. So we're doing that with Beth. She already got another church to pick them up. I supported missionaries as a youth pastor. Youth pastor for 8.5 years in the same church. You say, well, we can only do $15 a month. So what? Do what you can. You start, the way God works is you start at the back, then you move towards the front. You start with a little, then he gives you more. He's a supernatural God. He's into multiplication. What's it take to get multiplication to work? You've got to have a number on top of a number. And a lot of people have a number, but they don't do that extra that they know they need to do, so God cannot do the Ezekiel 36:11 miracle of multiplication. Getting a little bit petrified right here. You want to say anything about that, Chuck? Thank you. Chuck, just lead us in a quick prayer for Beth. You got 20, how many weeks did we figure up? 20 or 24?
20
weeks, and she needed how much?
120 a week.
120 a week. That's impossible. Unless God does it. No pressure, Chuck. Pray a prayer of faith.
Oh, yes. Father, we thank you because we know that you own the cattle of 1,000 hills. We know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God, we know the promises of your word. And so, Lord, we pray for Beth right now. God, and we speak to that mountain, that financial mountain, and we say, be removed and cast into the sea. God, I'm asking that you supply every nickel, every penny, Lord, that she needs to get to Togo. God, that you would put her over the top with support. And God, you would pour out of your spirit and you would speak to hearts, Lord, even to people she doesn't know. And you would speak to them and say, support this person. God, I just pray you bless her. I pray you pour out your spirit in a powerful way that the need would be met and that she would be to Togo when they need her, God. So I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's a good prayer of faith. All right. Okay, Pastor Chris, come on over here. We used to call it Illinois Youth and College Ministries. Bonnie and I have been cleaning out closets. Here's an Illinois Youth and College Ministries. I cut off the other part of the envelope. Look at this. This was a priority.
You got like a hard drive in here?
I don't know what I did. Here, there's nothing in there. It's just an empty envelope. You can burn it in your fireplace. Okay. Here's another. This was a real executive level envelope. Look at that one. Okay.
This on a shirt.
Look at this cheesy. Look at this cheesy button, dude. Look at this. Illinois Youth Ministries. You got to wanna. New beginnings, baby. That's from the 1980 or 81 right there. Let's hear it for our BYD. Okay, let me walk you through the box. Can you do the bracelet in 4 minutes? Okay. Our youth life director, Billy Willis, is going to come. Take the bracelet out of there and the sheet in the back and use the simple side of the sheet. Okay? Not that side. Use the green, black, purple, red, white side. Not the blue. That's Michigan color. Not green, not yellow, not orange. Use that side of the sheet. Okay? You got it? And you got the bracelet. Take the bracelet out. Please put the bracelet on with the arrow to the left. So you start with the black. Billy shall walk it through it real quick. We start it wherever you want. Hey guys, so here's the deal. Green, we just remember the good plan of God, that God created everything and saw that it was good. Black represents sin that came into the world, separated us from God. And then we have, up next, we have purple. We have the promise of God, the plan of redemption, that God would send his son Jesus to die on the cross to wash away the sins of the world. We come to red, which represents the blood, the shed blood of Jesus, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Then we come to the white. We're reminded that that because of the blood of Jesus, our sins are as white as snow. We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We're forgiven. We're washed clean. Blue reminds us that we're baptized into the body of Christ, the family of God, and that God gives us the promise of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowering us to live a new life, which brings us back again to green, which reminds us of the original plan that God had for all of us, the good plan that he has for each and every one of us, and the promise of eternal life that is free from all pain, sickness, sorrow, and death. How was that for 4 minutes?
Yeah,
let's hear it for Billy, our youth live director. Okay, a couple weeks ago, Billy and Katie were in Urbana, and we were at Starbucks, and I led a lady to Jesus using this, and she goes, "What is it?" I told her. She starts crying, led her in the sinner's prayer. I go, "What's going on in your life?" She said, "This morning I got up, and I said, God, if you really care about me, would you show it to me?" And I said, "Well, why is today so significant? My daughter would have been 14 years of age today. She died 2 years ago in a car crash." Now, for those of you that are melancholy, you don't need to memorize this exact. To be honest with you, I just kind of skimmed it, and then I just kind of made things up as I went. And I led that person to Jesus. That's what I did. I led them. Come on, how much time you got?
90-ish minutes,
okay? All right, let me walk you through the box. Look, open it up. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. There's a simple book in there with 8 lessons. There's a workbook, okay? Guess what? I think it's 8 lessons, might have 10. There's a pen. Wow, a pen, that's just awesome. Now, we teach the personal evangelism approach. What is that? Prayer, care, share. You know why people aren't getting saved in our churches? Because we're not praying for the lost. We used to have prayer coordinators and evangelism coordinators in our churches. I've written a little job description. If you want it, you can email me. Let me give you my telephone number. If you want my telephone number, I'll give you my telephone number. You can text me. I'll give you my email. You ready? You got your phone out? Here you go. Here's my telephone number. 217-369-4667. 217-369-4667. I will get back to you. When I fly, I even pay you a little extra. Here's my email address. I wouldn't be able to do what I do if it wasn't for Pastor Ricky and Stone Creek Church. I mean, I just would not be able to do what I do. Okay? G.W. Grogan, G.R.O.G.A.N., at StoneCreekWired.com. I have a district email, but
it's
Microsoft Word. Anyhow. G.W. Grogan, at StoneCreekWired.com. I will respond to you. If you'll email me or text me with your email, I will send you a simple job description for a prayer coordinator and an evangelism coordinator in your church. Prayer coordinator does not have to be an intercessor or a prayer warrior, but they have to be organized. Another one of the reasons God's not blessing us is because we don't handle our prayer requests with integrity. We pray for the lost. We care for the lost. Bonnie and I care for our neighbors. We have this old German guy that used to be a CIA agent, and we buy, they're COVID freaky, and we buy their groceries, and I won't buy it, but Bonnie even buys a few beverages for them because he's German. I won't do it, but she does. So, okay, why don't you have a prayer meeting, or you preach? You know what I like about Billy Willis? He preaches on the lost. I don't hear that much anymore. How many middle school and high school students in the state of Illinois?
There's 2 million students in Illinois.
2 million students. What percentage of us Christians come to Jesus before like the age of what?
Yeah, 94% before the time you exit high school.
94% of all Christians come to Jesus before they leave high school. I like the way you say it. Let's fish in the pond where the most fish are. I stayed in El Paso listening to him preach Sunday morning. He did awesome.
Yeah,
it was awesome. We're blessed to have him in our state. Why don't you have a prayer rally where you just Google, how do you pray for the lost? There's a plethora of stuff out there, including books on how to pray for the lost. You can do it at the end of a Sunday morning service where you're preaching on missions and say, okay, list five people. We've done this tons of times at Stone Creek Church. Okay, list the names of five people that need to come to Jesus, not across the country. Okay, we know your mom and dad who live in California, they want, but we're talking people in your neighborhood, people that you bump shoulders with. Write their names, even if you only know their first names, and we're going to believe God, whatever you ask in prayer, we're going to believe that we receive it, it's going to be ours. And then we used to do this at Chicago Outreach. And we'd have a cross, and we'd put notes up there, and then you leave part of it in the youth room, in the college room, in the church, and then you keep the other part, you fill it out with the same names. This is an old James Kennedy, what was the name of that? Evangelism explosion tactic. Okay, you ready for the coolest part of the box? The coolest part of the box is the flash drive. You've got cardboard, I got real nice here. All right. The flash drive has 8 sermons on evangelism. You can do it Sunday morning. You don't have to do all 8. You can do 1. You can do 7. You can do 6. You got PowerPoint. You can do it for a lesson. You can do it for discipleship. You can do it small group, medium-sized group, large group. If you don't want to teach the workbook yourself, Joe Oden, our national Go 21 director, will teach them for you. It's all on the flash drive. Everybody say thanks, Papa G. All right, we walk you through the box. Is Joe ready?
I'm going to get him ready.
Here's our national Go 21 director. He's a Texan. He was raised in Arkansas. Don't hold that against him. He's got that gentleman Arkansas accent. Lives in Dallas, Texas now. Has an office at North Texas District. Him and his wife, they have about 100 in their school of urban ministry. Travels all over America. He got radically saved. Yeah, and he's working on his doctorate at AGTS. What's up, Joe Oden? Can you see me? Can you see all of us?
He cannot see you yet. I'm going to go ahead and get you connected over
okay.
Here.
Okay. Is that in on the cord?
Yep.
No,
cool.
No, it's not.
Right.
No,
that's not all it is.
Help me out of there. See
if you hear me okay?
Help me out. All right, we cannot hear you, Joe.
I got you. Hold on.
Okay. So anyhow, Go 21 director, this is a worldwide movement. This is it. We're behind up all the other continents of the earth. It's bigger in Europe and Latin America and Africa than it is in the United States. It's just a personal evangelism, soul-winning discipleship effort. That's all it is. We got to get back to teaching our people to pray for the lost, care for the lost, and then eventually share for the lost. Oh, I'm going to bring it to my youth pastor. He'll tell you how to get saved. No, we want our people to lead people. I've always used the Romans road. You can use whatever you want. Can you hear us? Joe, can you hear us? All right, we cannot hear you. Did you get a haircut? Stalling. Just like the Cubs when it rains, I'm just stalling. That's what I'm doing. We're working on it. Questions about the box. Cool article, Steve Magoo, in the Convoy of Hope, Rural Compassion, with Kent and Judy Anderson. They did an outreach in Kewaunee. Tell me the group that you're part of, 311, what's it called?
Rule 311.
We want to have revival in our rural churches. Most of our missionaries come out of rural churches, plus rural churches drop you. Once you get on their support list, you stay there forever. Okay? Really cool article. Working yet? Working. Working. Okay, somebody asked me a question about the box. Joe, we on?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah! Okay, Joe, I know you're pressure cooker on time. You got graduation and stuff coming with School of Urban Ministries. We got a room full of young ministers here. Two things, Joe. Number one, I already walked them through the box. Just briefly, in a couple minutes, talk about the box. But the big thing is, I want you to motivate us to have a burden for the lost. That's what I want you to do. Go for it. Let's welcome Joe Bowden.
It's an honor to be with you guys today. Thank you, Papa G, for inviting me to come. I really, this is not a platitude. I always consider it a great honor to speak to leaders at any time that I'm asked. And really, too, I want to thank Chris, because we had a real technical difficulty there, and he really pulled us through. And I know a lot of times I just take it for granted with the technical workers, but Chris, you made this happen and you fixed that glitch, so thank you very much. Just in a nutshell, I sit as the evangelism chairman for PCCNA, which is for the Evangelism Commission, which is 30 denominations, and I was asked to help mobilize these denominations through Go21, and they did not have anything to train and equip the entire movement. So I was asked to put something together, and I was really thinking about the pastor and the lay person that doesn't share the gospel. Cindy, 43, married, has three children, won't even look the usher in the face on a Sunday morning. What could I do? And I really felt to put together a prayer, care, share approach to personal evangelism. The fact of the matter is, over 95% of the body of Christ doesn't share their faith. That says to me, our problem is not a particular president. Our problem's not a senator. Our problem's not the Congress. Our problem is that over 95% of the people that sit in our churches week after week won't share the gospel this year. And so what could I do to help that individual? Well, if we can't get them, if we can get them to begin to pray for people, we've got a shot at getting to share with people. So we put together a tool in this book on how to get an individual engaged in praying for the lost. And if we can get people praying for the lost by name, we've got a My Five card that we teach in there. Charles Finney, Father Nash used this. Billy Graham used this strategy. We can get people praying for the lost, then get them to begin to care and begin to share. So with all that being said, we wrote a book on it, A Prayer, Care, Share Approach to Relational Evangelism. I love the supernatural. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you'll receive power to be a witness. Corinthians 14:1, earnestly seek spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. I believe as Pentecostal believers, as leaders, we should operate in the supernatural outside the four walls of the church, seeing blind people healed, casting out devils. I operate in that. But our people, that would be a bit of a stretch to take them there to that place. But if we can get them praying, we can eventually get them sharing with the lost. And so we've also in there, we've got a teaching series that goes along with it. Also notes for pastors, a PowerPoint for pastors that are all in that kit. A wristband, I know Papa G has talked to you guys about it extensively. But I had the pastor in mind. What could I do to help the pastor? So if lay people go through the book, the work, the sermon, the videos, they will be fully equipped on a prayer, care, share approach to relational evangelism. I have the privilege to travel throughout the United States of America, igniting districts, denominations in evangelism. And one of the things that I found was a very alarming stat that Dr. Scott Camp wrote about in his book, Primer on Power. And he states that 78% of the body of Christ, 78% of churches have either plateaued or they're in decline. 11% of churches are growing through transfer growth. That means a grand total of 89% of churches. That means, you know, many of you drove a long way to get to district council. Some of you passed hundreds of churches on your journey to district council this week. And that means 9 out of 10 churches that you pass are not growing the kingdom of God. When somebody leaves a Methodist church and comes to one of our churches, maybe the Assemblies of God constituency grows, but the kingdom of God doesn't. So 89% of churches in the United States of America have plateaued or in decline. When I first heard that thought, there was a bit of encouragement on the inside of me. I thought, well, at least 11% of churches are growing through evangelistic conversion. But as you look at that stat a little deeper, as that stat's broken down, 8% of that 11 is biological. A father leading their son to Christ, an uncle leading their niece to Christ, a grandmother and their granddaughter. So 8% of the conversions are in a family unit. And just like myself, all of you, you're one of your number one mission field are your children, are your family. You know, would be to God that I gain the whole world but lose my family. I lose my kids. I want to see my kids get saved. So that leaves 3% of people, and excuse me, 3% of the body of Christ is growing through evangelistic conversion. And so as I've meditated and just thought about this statistic, imagine if Jesus Christ were going to address us today and he were to come in the back of the room and he was going to talk about this statistic. He was going to talk about 90% of churches plateaued or declining. He's going to talk about only 3% of the Christ, percent of the body of Christ is growing outside of the family unit through evangelist conversion. I don't believe he'd be angry. I don't think he'd come in with a bat. I don't think he would throw fire down from heaven. I don't think he'd make it to the front of the room, though. I think he would break the threshold of that door and he'd collapse with a burden. I believe he'd curl up in a fetal position. And I believe the entire establishment that you're in right now would hear the groan coming out of his spirit. I believe he would begin to weep uncontrollably. He would be irreconciled. And I say that to say, and I say this with a broken heart. I believe that I sit in them, and you know what I hear about? I hear about you got to have good greeters. I believe in good greeters. The parking lot's got to be clean. You want to have clean bathrooms. You don't want to have a service more than an hour and 15 minutes. You've got to connect with the audience. You've got to be relevant. You've got to present yourself in a way that if people come and visit, they want to stay. And I want to tell you, one of the things I haven't heard, maybe you have, I haven't been to every conference, I haven't been to every seminar, but I've been to a lot of them. You know what I've yet to hear? Pastor, you need to cultivate the burden for the lost. And when was the last time you wept over somebody that's just going to hell? I'm writing a paper for my doctorate degree right now, and I'm having to study the life of Charles Finney. One of the things that he would say that it convicted me as an evangelist, it pricked my heart, it got down on the inside of me, and I thought, I don't do that as much as I should or as much as I used to. He said, it would do the minister good to contemplate the eternal damnation that humanity will face outside of submitting themselves to Jesus Christ. That we need to contemplate that our neighbor, if they don't know Christ, they're going to face eternal damnation, hell, and fire. And so just recently, I began to just meditate on the people that I come in contact with. And as much as I don't want to say it, if they don't know Christ, they'll face eternal damnation. And I'm praying in a fresh way. This past week, the past couple weeks, God's blessed me with the greatest blessing I think an individual can be blessed with. A burden for people that are lost. I've wept over souls this week. I believe that's one of the greatest testimonies an individual can give, is that we have the very burden that Jesus has. So my prayer for us today, methods are great. I believe in them. We've got to have them. But if we had a burden that we felt and we began to tap into the heart of God and feel what he feels over the prostitute, the pimp, the drug addict. I was a drug addict and a drug dealer and got saved. I had an encounter with God. That we have a burden for the alcoholic, people that are away from God, that we would cultivate a burden for those individuals. I believe for us personally and the church as a whole, it would be a refreshing thing to flat out have a rebaptized burden for the lost. And I'm all about social justice. I'm all about the different things in the society that's got to be rectified. But at the end of the day, we can have social justice and people still not know Christ. And so I just want to pray this over you and turn it to Papa G. God, I just pray right now. Would you just lift your palms to the Lord in an attitude of, God, give me the burden for the lost, Lord. I pray that you would give us a burden for our neighbor, Lord, that we wouldn't just see our neighbor as a nice guy that cuts his grass and helps me with projects, God, but we'd see him as lost and saved. Lord, I pray that you would give us a burden as we walk into Walmart, as we get on a plane, Lord, that we would have your heart and your burn and your zeal for people simply that don't know Christ. God, it can't be preached in. It can't be proclaimed in. God, you've got to do it. It's sovereign, Lord. It's a sovereign gripping of God. Lord, I pray that you would grip us with what grips you, God. Break us with what breaks you. Turn our hearts to you, God. Shatter the indifference. God, let us have a burden for the lost like we never have, God. In Jesus' name.